listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life Weekly Service. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here. The second show in January 2016.
Yep, it is in fact, and we welcome all those of you who are listening live as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate your time. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. Now, we have a number of different educational programs, and here they are. If you are interested in personal growth, spiritual growth, evolution, and learning more, and even learning a vocation such as spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, and others, then we offer two schools, metaphysicsinstitute.org, our flagship school, where you can get your bachelor's, master's, doctoral degree in metaphysics, and also Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, where you can take standalone single courses in metaphysics or even get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We also offer a program for those who are in alcoholic or addictive relationships. EmpoweredRecovery.com is where you should go for that. Paranexus.org is an association of anomalous researchers. And that's the most of them. That's our biggest educational program. So if you have any interest in those, we invite you to take a look at those websites. Now, at this point, we usually read our abbreviated nine principles of belief, and I'm going to do something a little bit different beginning tonight for the next 9 weeks. Rather than read them all, I'm going to take each one per week and expand on it a little bit. I'm sure Dr. Hunter will have a comment or two to throw in there, but the full principles of belief can be viewed at our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And the first of our nine principles is do no harm, do right. Now, that's the principle that everything we teach is based on. And obviously, it's pretty self-explanatory, do no harm, do right. But probably the best practical application is look for ways every day that you can do no harm and do right. And that covers such a multitude of areas. And Dr. Hunter, you jump in anytime you want.
We've had this discussion many times about, you know, the difference between just doing a nice thing versus the right thing. And although doing a nice thing is the right thing, there's also about that, you know, that quandary sometimes about what's the right thing to do, even though the right thing is often like unpleasant. So, you know, that's, I think, the biggest difficulty for a lot of people with what's the right thing.
And the thing to do that we encourage is, can you step it up a notch? Just be open. You got to kind of think about it ahead of time, but be on the lookout. What can you do? Can you do a nice for somebody? Can you help out where there's a need? And this is all in the spirit of paying it forward, too. And if a lot of people will resist, you know, I mean, it's a matter of pride at some point in some cases, and some people could be even better. For example, was it yesterday? I went somewhere. Where'd I go? I went somewhere. Okay, I went to Cape Coral, and on the way, I stopped through McDonald's because I wanted to get something to eat and grab something on a bite on the way, and I placed my order. They were taking a little longer than usual, and I'm standing there waiting, and there was a fella up at the counter about, I don't know, 6 feet from me, and he was ordering, and he his total order came to what, maybe $4? It wasn't very much, $4 or $5, nothing, and he didn't quite have enough money, and So he says, well, take this away and take that away. And I just jumped on it. I said, no, I'll take care of it. How much was it? And he says, oh, no, it's okay. I'm good. And I says, no, just pay it forward, man. It's all right. And I paid it. And he thanked me two or three times while he was waiting. And, you know, he just didn't bring enough money with him. It was no big deal. But that's the kind of thing. If you just look for them, they're there. Jump in, you know, if you can. And, I mean, that happens a lot. Just, you know, people do that sort of thing all the time. I mean, you pay if you're at the toll booth, pay for the car behind you. Or even if you're in a drive-thru, you know, and you want to do something nice, pay for car behind you's dinner. I don't know, just whatever. But and tell them to tell the person to pay it forward, because that spreads the message. That's what we want to do. We want to get everybody into this mindset. Let's be part of that solution rather than the problem. Let's not just take. Let's give, and give whenever we can.
And sometimes doing the right thing, being the nice thing, and then the right thing, as they were saying, be uncomfortable, is sometimes we can get challenged, like that fellow saying to you, no, it's all right. But you step it up, as you were saying, you know, let's all step it up a notch and be willing to stand up to, you know, say, no, I got it. It's all right. Because it's actually when you're not allowed to very often pay it forward, give it forward, be kind, somebody's taking your joy away. And that's what I will throw in. Hey, don't take my happiness away. I like doing it. It makes me feel good. And that usually sets the tone. You know, I, as we were talking, I pulled a card out of our oracle, our inner oracle self-discovery cards, and I came up with truth. And I find that interesting. It's in the spirituality suit, and it's number 24 for those who have the cards. And I'm going to read this from the booklet, and just you can think about this many different ways. And specifically, we're going to talk about cosmic truth, but think about all kinds of ways to look at truth, and it fits in with the right thing also. So, and I'll explain in a second. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are, and this is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those that we won't see. So this, and of course, and adding in this description is, this is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead, and this card may indicate that there's a truth or something in a direction. You know, and I think that doing the right thing is right in line with discovering a truth, discovering what we're made of, like really what kind of substance do we have. And being brave enough to be kind, being brave enough to step forward, being brave enough to do the right thing, because there's truth in that. You know, it's the greater truth, I think, of what humanity aspires to be and what we really all want to do. So, I mean, I'm sure you have something else to say in there too, Dr.
Well,
Kelly.
Well, yeah, I'd like to throw out a question for everybody to answer for themselves. And before you answer it quickly, think about it, ponder it, meditate on it, really give it some thought. And the question is simple. What is your truth? Think about that. What is your truth? That's not necessarily an easy question to answer. It takes introspection. You got to look at yourself, look at everything you do, everything about yourself, and arrive at what is your truth? How would you answer that question? And it's a rhetorical question, obviously, but think about it over the coming days. What is your truth? And once you've figured that out, here's a follow-up question. Are you following your truth? Are you fulfilling your truth? Those are pretty powerful questions, if you ask me. And even if you don't ask me, they're still powerful.
Well, what I know the truth is I would not make a good Walmart greeter. Like, well, that's the truth.
That's up there on that, those cosmic levels of truth.
You know, it's so more who am I and what's my truth? It's also accepting very early in my, you know, early adulthood, I realized I'm not good at a day job. I'm really just not. I don't function well in a day job. I could take contract work and so on, but I am better functioning on my own. I'm really good at being self-employed. That's not the case for everybody. Mm-hmm. So some people need a little more structure. They need, you know, the place to go to every day. They need that check every 2 weeks or however it works out for them. So it's just a matter of how you're built. And that's owning a truth of who you are. Now, I had a lot of people kind of say, geez, what are you doing? Don't you think you should get a job? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I managed to do very well. And, you know, managed to raise three kids being self-employed and still self-employed. So I got through it just fine. It's just from the other side of it, when people would look at me and I would struggle with money problems just like anybody else with a real job. You know what I mean by a day job.
A real job, huh?
So there'd be some challenges put in my way from people who thought that I was outside their idea of what should be ordinary or acceptable. So, but I had to own my truth. It's just the truth of me, and I function better this way. I have the discipline. I have the drive. I have what it takes to do that. Equally, I have met a lot of people who've tried to do their own business, who have really worked hard at saying, I really want to be self-employed. But there's certain ingredients in there. They have, you know, eventually owning a truth that they don't function that well. So that's, I think, in the real world, these are kinds of truths about ourselves that no matter what other people think of it, you know, we accept and we forge ahead.
There's an interesting discussion going on in the chat room.
Ah.
Michael had made the comment, I find it difficult sometimes to reconcile universal truths from personal truths.
Good one.
And Dr. Norm jumped in and basically read my mind. And he said, Michael, have you assumed that universal and personal truths are different? And, you know, this is all speculation. I mean, this is to get people thinking. This is to provoke you to thought.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's great line of thinking. You know, universal truths and personal truths, are they different? They might be. They might not be. You know, maybe some are the same. Maybe they're all the same. But that's something to get people thinking, you know. And when we come up, when we think about our personal truth, that, and you just mentioned it, it means knowing yourself and getting to know yourself every day more.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that I have pondered that very thing, Michael, and others who are listening, the universal truths versus personal truths. And I think personal truths sometimes go with a belief system. And what I have done very often is analyze. If I think this way and if I believe that way, how does that work out in the universal scheme of things? So maybe there's something in me that I need to adjust that because it doesn't make sense universally. So I like to look for what would apply to everyone as opposed to, you know, just me. And then I'm entitled to me. I'm entitled to my own personal truth, knowing how I'm constructed, knowing how, you know, I like to function, knowing my nature. My body's different than the next one's body, you know, and so on, because we're very unique individuals. But when it comes to our personal truths, I've had to adjust my so-called personal truths a lot. You know, because what I thought I believed in could be a whole bunch of caca. So, you know, I've had to sit down very often in life and start to mull it over and say, there's more than what I thought. Just, you know, just my thinking about that.
You know, a thought comes to mind. We talk about universal truths. And, you know, we were just talking about do no harm, do right. That's, to me, those are two universal truths. And could it be that one of the keys to spiritual growth, to enlightenment, to self-completeness is to align our truth with universal truth? And now I'm just speculating because this is the first I've thought about it, but it was an interesting thought. So if universal truth, one of them is, and these are kind of like cosmic laws, if you will. If one of them is to do no harm, do right, and we're not in the habit of doing that, and that would mean our personal truth is not in the form of doing right, doing no harm and doing right. So what if we were to bring that in line with that universal truth, that we would obviously benefit, and so would everybody else. And now can we take that same thing and apply it to other universal truths such as equality and tolerance. You know, if we're not that way, we're biased or we're intolerant. If we were to bring that truth of ourselves into line with universal truth, that is, toleration, being tolerant and not being biased or prejudiced, then we benefit.
I'm sorry. But it was a little blip in my headphone. Dr. Darlene brings something up. She said, I like to think that my truths embrace paradox. What's true now may not be true later. You know, and that's a very interesting thought line of thinking in the paradox. And what may be true now might not be true later. Well, I think universal truth is universal truth, period. We just don't know what it is. So what I know today to be true may not be true later because I've learned more. However, everything kind of is a paradox in a way, you know, or sometimes it gets kind of screwy. You know, we like to think of do no harm. So to some people, that means being vegetarian because they're not going to eat meat because that's doing harm. We now know, though, that plants have consciousness. So if you are, you know, harvesting your garden, you know, you're basically, you know, killing a carrot to eat it, you know. So, and you and I have had this discussion not too long ago, Dr. Kelly, about, you know, when you eat a tomato, is it dead? It's like, you know, because we can go into this really cool existential conversation. But here's a reality. We live on a planet where everything eats everything. You know, so, I mean, everything has a balance in nature, and that's a universal truth on Earth as we know it to be. Everything eats everything to some degree on this planet. It's required as a life source. So, okay. So we have to take a life to have life. But the life we've just taken relies on other nutrients and other, you know, right down to bacteria. It requires those things in order to live. So it's like, I don't know, the, you know, as we say, the dog chases the cat chases the mouse, and so on. But if we look deep enough, we are at this strange kind of paradox. So, but I still think that a universal truth is a universal truth of cause and effect. Some people talk a lot about karma, and I'm not big on talking karma because it implies that there's going to be an immediate reaction and that we get to see this immediate reaction. And a lot of people, particularly of religious thinking, you know, think my God is better than your God. My God's going to reward me today because that's karma, you know, some kind of thing. Rather, cause and effect, we can have an action and a reaction, but we may not see that reaction for quite some time. So back to what Dr. Darlene is saying is, you know, it's a truth today because it seemed like the right thing to do, but there's an effect way later on. You cut down that entire forest, it's going to have an effect. Maybe we don't see it today, but it could be way later. So this is an interesting philosophical, existential kind of conversation about what is the truth.
And I'd like to comment too. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just a perspective. You know, it's whatever perspective we have from our personal truths or our belief system at this moment.
Well, I'd like to comment on Dr. Darlene's comment too. It's a good comment. What is true now may not be true later. And I think that's absolutely true when it comes to personal truths. But when it comes to universal truths, you know, that's universal truths are consistent. They're universal. They don't change. And so that would seem to support what I was saying earlier. When we bring our own personal truths into alignment with universal truths, it's much healthier. And so I appreciate her making that point because this, what she said is true. What's true for us today may not be true tomorrow. And that, I mean, there's a lot of context we're talking in here. I mean, this can be changed. The context can be changed and the meaning changed. For example, you know, we in the past we've talked about meaning versus purpose. Meaning is that which what brings us fulfillment, and our purpose is that action plan for getting that meaning. And that action plan can certainly change. The purpose can change, but that doesn't have much to do with, quote, universal truth, whereas the meaning of our life might. So yes, some things can change, but some things may not change. So we need to try to discern that about ourselves, which could be brought into alignment with universal truths. That is, cosmic laws that don't change, that are consistent.
You know, Michael just made a really profound statement. I love this chat. Yeah, he did. He's so brilliant, that guy. Could the universal truth be that it happened, and the personal truth of the soul its moral significance? Now, that's huge. That's actually, you know, a real stimulator of the brain, because moral significance. I think morality, we might have an idea of what morality is, but somebody else is going to have a different idea of morality. And I think this is exactly the dilemma that we have in our humanity right now. Well, we always have, but I think it's really quite profound at the moment of what is a moral truth? What's a moral significance? What is truthful to one may not be the other. And I think where we have to be careful is when people compete, is when people think that one is better, greater, more, because they have a corner on the universe. You know, and what is that universal truth? And just moving along down in the chat, you know, Zach had made a comment about the laws of physics are universal truths. And that's where I would go, more in line with, rather than considering our personal truths, because they just can get, you know, so crazy. Is more about a universal truth being within the laws of physics, and including metaphysics and consciousness. And if everybody of any religious belief system would just stop for a minute, like put down your weapons and your Bibles and all your other stuff for a minute, and would actually consider that consciousness survives the physical body, and we have evidence of this now, they may rethink their belief systems. You know, and if you still want to believe in a Messiah, that's cool. Who cares? But we wouldn't be quite as territorial to think that one belief system is better than another, because it all boils down to one simple, truthful law, which is consciousness survives the body. And I think that in those laws of physics, that is where the universal truths are more profound. There's just things we can't argue once we start to see it.
Norm asks, Dr. Hunter, is morality a cultural thing?
Absolutely. I mean, there's just no way around that. And if it doesn't start out that way, it becomes that way. I was just rewatching some of the Milgram experiments again about the obedience. It's a very interesting thing. In order to survive, I think that we do adapt, and we take on the psyche of where we're at. And it'll happen, we hope. I like to think I was one of those, and Dr. Kelly was one of those, that when we're in a culture that goes against our very core, that you're willing to make a break away. The question is, where do you go to? If you're primarily in a country or an area that is absolutely all one religion, and you happen to think something different, you're very likely going to keep it quiet. You're very likely, in order to survive, going to go into a secretive place. And this has been the issue with metaphysics, the issue of spirituality, the issue of the so-called New Age movement, where people couldn't speak out for fear of retribution. So is morality a cultural thing? I think it's an adaptation to the dominant belief system, if you will. So what one culture believes, another one won't, and vice versa and everything else. And then we have subcultures, you know, and then there's subcultures within subcultures. Like if you're living on the streets, there is one kind of morality, you know, and the unwritten laws and the codes and so on. But then if we look at the predominant Christian religion or Islamic religions, that's a very different thing. Their morality is different. So it's hopefully what we get is an awakening of the soul, an awakening of consciousness in that's universal, that has a greater sensibility. And I'm going to plug the school here a little bit, because when first coming on to, it's nearly 5 years now that I've been with IMHS and Dr. Kelly, the beauty of it is its sensibility and its groundedness. And if everybody would just stop for a second and think about what that is, there's universal laws in that. So when we talk about do no harm, do right, that is a universal principle. We just tend to twist it and move things around to fit whatever culture we're living in and justify it and adapt. And the Milgram experiment, if anybody's interested, just go on YouTube and, you know, enter that in or Google it. And it's a fascinating study of what he could make people do based on an authority. You know, it's I'm going to tell you to push this button. You're going to give somebody an electric shock. Oh, why are we doing this? But he can make people do unbelievable things based on that obedience. Go ahead.
Can you spell Milgram for people?
Milgram. It was done decades ago, and it still holds true. So, you know, I wish that people would take actually a lot of this into court cases, and, you know, defense lawyers would actually argue with this, because it's proven time and again how people will be obedient. And not because they want to be. I think they adapt, and there's an authority, and do it to kind of survive, I think part of it is. But that would become in line with a moral dilemma, an ethical dilemma, and how the brain or the mind can just kind of snap. And so we are that kind of vulnerable, frail kind of a species. However, some do not. And they can't quite figure out. In the Milgram experiments, he would say it's a very rare case where somebody would absolutely refuse to do something against their moral judgment. And would stand up to the authority and be disobedient. And the risk of where we're at right now in our society is this so-called ODD that psychologists are now saying. If you have this oppositional defiance disorder. So if I stand up to the government, if I stand up to my boss, if I stand up to the teacher, I can now be labeled and treated for ODD. And I think it's fascinating, because it's how else do you get 7 billion people on the planet to behave?
I'd like to comment on something you mentioned a moment ago, and comment on this, you know, is morality cultural. And I think you addressed that well. Yes, it can be. But let's take it into the context of universal truth versus personal truth, because we can fit it in there too. There is a universal morality. Do no harm, do right is one of them. And so, yet, that may not be within our own personal morality. If we happen to be a radicalized whatever, that's not going to be within our personal truth. So, you know, is morality a cultural thing? Yes. Should it be a cultural thing? In my opinion, no. It should be a universal thing. You know, there are universal truths, universal moral codes that we should abide by, including tolerance and equality and respect for others and treating people well. Those are all highly moral things, but not everybody follows them. So I haven't read the latest statements.
You know,
if there is anything.
Dr. Norm says in here, nice to have you here, by the way, tonight, Dr. Norman Wilson. One of the fundamental issues, he says, we face is making judgments based on the culture to which we've been raised about one that is different than our own. And this is the reason for territorial disputes. And I totally agree with that. It's territory, power, and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's the dark side of humanity. You know, and there is that competition, that greed, and it does propel itself. And again, going back to dominance and obedience and who wants what and who can convince everybody else to go get it for them. So we have to be careful about judging others. However, I will say this. I don't care what culture somebody is from. If they're doing something that is absolutely universally wrong, I will stand up.
Yeah.
I and at the very least, in doing the right thing, I would call an authority to ensure that whatever I'm seeing here is taken care of at some other level, even if I can't do it. In the cases of child abuse, in the cases of, you know, and there's a list of things that I think, no matter what culture we're from, so again, what you were talking about, Dr. Kelly, ties in, that we ought to stand up for children. We ought to stand up for, you know, basic humanity and people who are vulnerable. And that being said, there are cultures that really believe that they can marry young girls under the age of 12 years old. Well, that's just legalized pedophilia. That's all that is. And yep. So you get a whole bunch of nutcases. So what do we do with that when we're faced with it? I don't want to judge people. But then again, it's not their religion that's wrong. It's how the religion is twisted to suit certain needs or desires or powers that a very strange little subculture wants. And am I judgmental? I have to say I'm just not evolved enough to say that I don't judge that, because I do.
Well, let's pull a card. And by the way, if anyone would like a card pulled from our inner oracle deck, just say so in the chat room and we'll do that.
Well, the card I just pulled is relationships. I okay. love that. I think that we're in a process all the way around about redefining relationships and trying to figure out what it is we want from each other that is beyond texting. Texting and email. So keeping that in mind too. This number 40 in the life skills suit, it reads, healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are, not for what they are and what they believe. Don't be judgmental, in other words. Otherwise, end the relationship, regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card may refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. So how we relate to each other, how we are connecting with one another. And I think that really we are in a kind of a state of flux in many societies, that we're learning how to communicate. We have to learn this all over again, like the hello and goodbye and, you know, nice little things and
basic.
Yeah. Thank you. Please. You know, just some very basic communication and respectful kinds of behaviors. I would just like to qualify in this too when it says healthy relationships are interdependent. It means that we accept that we need each other. You know, we do. We're interdependent. We need the grocer. We need the guy who, you know, fixes my tire. You know, we need each other in many, many ways. Even in intimate partnerships, you know, there's an interdependency of who does what for whom and how, but it never takes away. It's the win-win of an interdependent relationship. A codependent relationship, and I know you'll have something to say about this too, Dr. Kelly, but a codependent relationship is when I need you to behave a certain way that fulfills my need, or I'm going to behave in a way that satisfies me without regard for you. And we feed each other's garbage, in other words. And we're not being real and honest about what's going on. Go ahead.
I was just going to, I can add to that the codependent part is doing things for the people that they could and should do for themselves. And this matter of relationships, I mean, everything is intermingled. You know, we need each other, but by the same token, we need to protect ourselves too, and we need to understand that we're entitled to the same good things in life as anyone else, no more, no less, but everybody is. And so as we go through life, we want to maintain healthy relationships, And that means not ridiculing other people for what they might do or believe, you know. And we're not talking about criminal acts or anything here, just general stuff. You know, we don't, you know, you accept people for who they are, and if not for what they believe. But if what they believe is in harming other people, then that kind of nixes the relationship. So keep everything in a healthy place. Bridget would like a card.
If I can just say, Dr. Norm threw in a little comment here, a question. He said, are you talking about mutualism when I was talking? And yes, I actually am in its literal term. And what the definition of mutualism is, for those who don't know, and I just pulled it up, the doctrine that mutual dependence is necessary to social well-being. So it's a symbiosis that's beneficial to both organisms involved. So we do need to have that kind of symbiotic relationship, and it's respectful. We all need each other in those ways. So you were saying Bridget wants a card.
Yeah.
All right, Bridget. Nice to see you here, by the way. I have energy signature number 26, and that's in spirituality. In the spirituality suit. So for you, Bridget, this card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation. Have to keep that in mind. Or an individual or a relationship. Keep what's healthy, remove what's unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others, you can only change yourself and your own energy signature. And of course, we know you know that. It's just, this is, you know, when we pull these little cards, they're reminders. Because wherever we're at, sometimes we just need to be stimulated to a new thought or a reminder. This is just saying, to kind of, you know, okay, what's the energy signature going on here? What's resonating really well with you and what's not? So I hope that makes sense for you.
And Dr. Shirley would like one too.
Hello, Dr. Shirley. All right. You know, I want to say we really appreciate you joining us every week. It's a nice thing to see you. And have you participate, by the way. It's great, too. Dr. Shirley, I got sacred obligations. And the suit is service to self and others, number 31. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change. Evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness. Promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. And of course, the biggest self, you know, sacred obligation is to yourself, right? And we were talking earlier about your truth. So own your truth and live to that highest good, keeping your obligations, the sacred obligations in mind. I hope that resonated with you tonight.
Yeah, and keep in mind that obligations can come from different sources. We have true obligations that we need to fulfill, but there can be obligations that we take on from other people that are not necessarily ours. And so we need, and it puts us sometimes to a disadvantage. So we need to really think about those obligations, where they come from, and how valid they are. So
I would like to just shift over for a second. Michael Kelly wrote something here in the chat, and I'd like to share it. Diane, I just saw your message. I'll pull that right away. Just going to read this. Michael says, I once read a wonderful article by David Brooks, who basically contradicted the notion that nice guys finish last. The article argued that it is only through humanity's better angels that we have been able to thrive, not our darker impulses. Huge. If everyone did whatever it took to survive, no matter what, it would be the end of the species. And it's true. It's absolutely true. So I wanted to throw that in because I just thought that was, thanks for writing that, Michael, and adding that. And it really does reaffirm that it's through our higher side, not our darker side, that we continue to thrive, that we continue to grow and aspire and find new senses of purpose and to continue to evolve. So I just wanted to throw that in. So we have Diane. Hello, Diane. I have paradox. Oh, it was mentioned. It's in the wild card suit at the very end of the booklet. It is number one. I love this card. A truth. See, we've been talking truth all night. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered. You know, contrarian thinking is one of the things that Dr. Kelly is very, you know, clear about in the IMHS, study material. So I let you explain that best, Dr. Kelly.
And repeat that last, because it muffed up a little bit on my end. Would you repeat the last thing you said?
If you would share with us contrarian thinking.
Contrarian thinking is essentially what it is. I use the 180 principle, and there was a great little illustration in a book called U Squared by Pritchett Publications, I believe. And it's the fly at the window. I've mentioned this on the program before. So often we see a fly buzzing at the window trying to get outside to the big world. And what usually happens is the fly ends up dying on the windowsill when all it had to do was turn around 180 degrees and fly out through the open door behind it. And so often we're like that fly at the windowsill. We think we see the right direction. We can see the world out there. It's right there. Why can't we get to it? Well, because there's something transparent that's blocking our forward movement, obviously. Sometimes we have to take the contrarian approach, which is do a 180, turn around, and go the other way. And for problem solving, this is an excellent experiment, if you will. It's an excellent approach. We look at our problems and from all aspects, all angles. You know, what would be the stupidest thing I could do to solve this problem? And you answer it. What shouldn't I do? What would be the most outrageous thing to do? And in my mind, the most penetrating or intense or profound aspect of contrarian thinking is that sometimes a solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. Now, let that sink in a moment. For the fly at the window, its belief system said that the direction to go was forward, but there's a window in the way. And we're like that so often. We look for a solution, we can't find it. It's because it lies outside of our belief system. We need to expand our who we are. We need to get more data, more knowledge. We need to address our beliefs or examine our beliefs and how they might be holding us back, because that's the only thing that does hold us back is our beliefs. You know, if you believe you can't, you're right. If you believe you can, you're right. So just think about that. Let that slowly simmer. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system.
Now, Zach is asked for a card, and there's a little comedy going on between Michael and Zach here about the fourth card from the left. So I pulled the fourth card from the left, I'll have you know. And that's in the existential suit, number 16, and it's continuity of life. So here you go, Zach. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Hear me clearly, Zach. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. I think that that's awesome for you. That's a good reminder, because Zach, you've been doing some amazing things, making amazing changes, and it won't be long before you'll be Dr. Zach. That'll be awesome, too. So.
You got to pull the third one from the left, too.
Third one from, oh, yes.
The that was third. His first choice.
Third one. Well, empowerment. Look at that. Number nine, empowerment. And that's in the Life Leadership Paragon. So empowerment and continuity of life. Oh, your birthday is Saturday. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Here's empowerment. Okay, I'm going to give you a little clue about your birthday coming up too. Remind me. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Not just you, Zach, but anybody reading this or listening. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you're whole, you're empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself, with a big capital S, and others. So that's great. Empowerment and continuity of life. And I'd like to make a suggestion. Anybody listening who's got a birthday right around now, or when your birthday is coming up, do a meditation. So here, the closer to your birth time is better. If you think about it, you're rebirthing in that cycle. You know, it's as the cycle goes. Sit quietly for a moment and project for everything that you would like to happen for the coming year. And think about that. Visualize, feel it. And release it. And if it helps, write it down on a piece of paper, burn it, you know, throw it away, whatever you do. But release that. But be very, very clear. Be very specific. And the wording, remember, the universe does not paraphrase. And this is our responsibility in learning communication. We think the universe knows what we mean, but we don't really know what we mean when we haven't said it exactly. So be very clear in your wording. And be very specific. Do your meditation, project, and release. It's a very powerful thing to do. I could tell you lots of stories about this, and it's very exciting. So we wish you pre-birthday wishes, Zach. It's going to be a great year for you.
All right. So, folks, we've had a lively discussion tonight. We really appreciate all your comments and points made in the chat room. And I hope you'll be thinking about these different things over the coming week, and come back and join us next week with more thoughts and perspectives and questions, because it always serves to make the program more interesting and more exploratory, if you will. So we've covered a lot of cool things: personal truth, universal truth, do no harm, do right, and a lot of different other things that I've got jotted down here. Morality and culture and so on. I won't repeat them all, but they're all there, and we appreciate your attention to this. We really appreciate you taking time. Hey, look at that. We've got people. They want to listen to us. Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. You know, and this is a great program to get you thinking, and that's what we want to do, is get you thinking. And that's where we all grow. I mean, when you put points in the chat room for discussion points or questions or whatever, that promotes discussion. And you don't ever have to worry about whether your point is quote stupid unquote or not. Just put it in there. It will get a discussion going, and we all benefit. So it's a perfect time to not take yourself too seriously, because we're all learning. We're all trying here. So,
you know, we're all in this together, and we're all sharing our stories, sharing our points of view, and its input. This is a great forum for everybody to come together for discussion. That's awesome.
And we'd like to encourage you, if you're not yet a student at IMHS or Thomas Francis University, please think about enrolling in one of those two different schools, metaphysicsinstitute.org or tfuniversity.org, because it'll help you to get thinking more, and it will teach great practical life skills and all kinds of different things, and in a grounded way, in a practical way, and you can start using them right away. So again, thank you for your time, whether you're live or archive. We appreciate it. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.